Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. At this time, we'd like to welcome everyone to Civmec's conference call to discuss its results for the year of 2019. The audio for this conference is being broadcast simultaneously through the internet on the website http://www.civmec.com.br, where you can also find the slideshow presentation available for download. We inform that all participants will only be able to listen to the conference during the company's presentation. After the company's remarks are over, there will be a Q&A period. At that time, further instructions will be given. Should any participant need assistance during this conference, please press star then zero for an operator. Before proceeding, let me mention that forward-looking statements are being made under the safe harbor of the Securities Litigation Reform Act of 1996. Forward-looking statements are based on the beliefs and assumptions of Civmec management and on information currently available to the company. Forward-looking statements are not guarantees of performance. They involve risk, uncertainties, and assumptions because they relate to future events and therefore depend on circumstances that may or may not occur in the future. Investors should understand that general economic conditions, industry conditions, and other operating factors could also affect the future results of Civmec and could cause results to differ materially from those expressed in such forward-looking statements. Today with us, we have Benedetto Braga, Chief Executive Officer, Marie Afonso, Chief Financial Officer and Investor Relations Officer, Mario Arruda Sampaio, Head of Capital Market and Investor Relations, Silvio Xavier, Head of Cost and Tariffs, and Marcela Miaggi, Head of Accounting. Now I'll turn the conference over to Mr. Braga. Sir, you may begin the conference call.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening to all of you around the world. We are very happy to present to you today the excellent results, the excellent economic and financial results of our company during the year 2019. Fortunately, we are in a situation today in Brazil and all around the world with the coronavirus pandemic that is frightening people and impacting different sectors of the economy as well, and health and the lives of people. Civmec is, as you will see, very strong at the beginning of this pandemic in São Paulo state and in Brazil. Our company is prepared to help the authorities in solving the problem of the pandemic, because more and more people at the highest level of decision-making are understanding the relationship between sanitation and health. We have been speaking about sanitation and health for decades, and this time is when everybody understands even more clearly this very close relationship. Because without water security, clean water, safe water security for drinking purposes and for cleaning purposes that is essential during this pandemic, and for cleaning the streets, hospitals, and all these important elements for facing this pandemic, it becomes more and more apparent. And with this, I would like to stress some of the good positions we have today in order to help the government of São Paulo and Brazil to improve this very difficult situation in the health sector. We, in the last year, had a very important profit of the company. We managed to bring in important municipality services in our business, namely Santo André with water and sewer, and in Guarulhos with the sewage contract in the company. This has improved our EBITDA margin, as you will see with the presentation of Mario Sampaio in a moment. I would like, as a CEO of this company, to stress to you that we are prepared to face this new crisis the same way we faced the water crisis that abated over us in 2014-2015. Sabesp has already a record of facing important crisis situations, and this one is not going to be different from the previous one. We're going to face it, and we're going to win. And with this, I would like to pass the floor to Mario Sampaio to present to you the excellent results, and you will appreciate how prepared we are to help the pandemic in the state of São Paulo.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Braga. Let's start on slide three. Here we will present the evolution of the build volume. So the total volume billed in 2019, disregarding the volumes of the municipality of Guarulhos and Santander, grew by 2.7%, 2.4% in water and 3.1% in sewage. When we include Guarulhos and Santo André, the volume billed shows a total growth of 3.5%, with 0.2% in water and 7.7% in sewage. This is reflecting the migration of these municipalities from a situation in which our company supplied water in the wholesale for the situation where we directly today provide water, both water and sewage service, in a, as I said, on a direct basis. In retail, excluding the effects of Guarulhos and Santo André, the greatest relative growth was observed in the public category, with an increase of 4.6%, followed by the 2.7% increase in the residential category, 2.4% in the commercial category, and 1.7% at the industrial category. Let's move to slide four. We will here comment on our financial results. In 2019, our net income reached 3.4 billion compared to a net income of 2.8 billion in 18. This is an increase in our bottom line of 18.8%. This variation results from several factors, the most significant being the recognition of an extraordinary revenue resulting from the signing of the contract with the municipality of Santo André of 1.3 billion, and the financial result that varied positively by 230.6 million. Net operating was 18 billion compared to 16.1 billion in 18, representing an increase of 11.9%. If we disregard the effect of Santo André in 2019 and Guarulhos in 18, net operating revenue was 16.7 billion in 19 and 15.2 billion in 18, which shows an increase of 9.8%. Regarding cost, administrative and commercial expenses and construction costs, there was an increase of 12%, mainly in services, electricity, general expenses, and depreciation and amortization. Adjusted EBITDA for 19 reached 7.5 billion, an increase of 14.8% or 970 million in relation to 6.5 billion presented in 2018. The adjusted EBITDA margin in the year was 41.8% compared to 40.7% in the previous year. If we disregard the effects of revenue and construction costs, the EBITDA margin was 49.5% this year compared to 48.8% last year. Let's go to slide 5. Here we will highlight the main events that impacted the result in 2019. Let's start with the signing of a contract with the municipality of Santander, which was undoubtedly the highest highlight event for the results presented this year of 19. The company signed an agreement with the municipality in July, starting operations in August. In the year, the net non-recurring effect of this agreement, as we mentioned, was 1.3 billion in revenue. The operation in the municipality is still recent. It needs adjustment and investment, but it already shows a consistent perspective. So far, the transition has been successful and indicates that the results tend to be less impacted by adequacy costs that we observed in Guarulhos. In 19, there was a retail revenue of 140 million. After a full year of effective operations in Guarulhos, even though circumstances were more challenging than initially expected, with approximately 1 million people affected by the water rotation and not 800,000 as initially forecasted, Guarulhos positively impacted the 2019 net result in 230.7 million, with 424.6 million in operating revenue and 192.9 million in costs and expenses. In the period, there was also the adaptation to the legislation in force with the formalization of contracts with the municipality of San Bernardo do Campo and Guarujá, extending the provision of service for a period of 40 and 30 years, respectively. However, this fact led to the closing of lawsuits, which had an impact of 85.4 million in the company expenses. We also can highlight the first full year of operation of the San Lorenzo water production system, generating an additional expense of 137.9 million compared to 2018, when the system did not operate the entire year, actually, as of mid-year on. Another highlight was the reversal of the provision of the retired TAC in the amount of 173 million in the salaries, charges, and benefits and social security obligation. This is due to the filing of the TAC for the retirees. On October 11, 2019, the prosecutor responsible for this TAC recognized that its object was fully complied with and filed it. Let's go to slide 6. We highlight here the main variations that impacted costs and expenses in 19. As already mentioned on the previous slides, compared to the same period last year, costs, administrative, commercial, and construction costs increased by 1.3 billion or 12%. If we disregard construction costs, cost and administrative and selling expenses increased by 1.2 billion or 14.3%. The main variations were 387 million or 27.8% with depreciation and amortization, 333.7 million or 22.6% with services, 213.8 million or 22.2% with general expenses, and 183.5 million or 19% in electricity. In services, several factors contributed to the increase in expenses, such as maintenance of water and sewage networks and connection expenses with employees assigned by the city of Guarulhos and Santo André, plus water metering and delivery of bills. General expenses increased by 22% or 213 million. This is mainly due to the increase in the provision for lawsuits, the termination of legal proceedings resulting from the signing with the municipality of San Bernardo do Campo and Guarujá, and the greater provision for transfers to municipality sanitation funds. We also observed an increase in electricity expenses with emphasis on the entry into operation of the Jaguari-Atibainha interconnection and of the San Lorenzo water system, plus the start of operations in the municipality of Guarulhos. On the other hand, it's worth mentioning the reversion of the retired tax, which we mentioned prior, with $173 million, positively affecting the accounts of salary, charges, benefits, and social security obligations. Also, the decrease in expenses with estimated losses on settlement credits for doubtful accounts by 23.2%, from 166 million in 18 to 128 million in 19. For the further breakdown of these and other charges, in changes in costs, please refer to our press release. Let's move on to slide 7. Here we summarize the variations that affected the company's net income in 2019 compared to 18. Net income, as already mentioned, was 3.4 billion. Net operating revenue increased 1.9 billion. Costs and expenses, including construction costs, increased by 1.3 billion. Other operating income and expenses, including equity income, had a negative variation of 50.2 million. Financial results varied positively by 230 million. And finally, income tax and social contribution, which grew by 233 million. Due to the higher taxable income presented in 2019. Let's move. In the next three slides, we would like to share with you a brief analysis of three management performance indicators, which are more specifically that of the gross revenue per cubic meter, operating expenses per cubic meter, and EBITDA per cubic meter bill. For this analysis, we use the historical series since 2014 of quarterly accounting data released by the company. Additionally, we made some adjustments to isolate some extraordinary and relevant events that would distort the result. Additionally, in order to look at the performance in the period on the same basis, we have brought all figures at average prices for the fourth quarter of 2019, updated by the IPCA, which is our inflation index. Our objective with this approach is to look at the company's performance through indicators over time and on the same price basis, and not in nominal values, which quarter by quarter, where specific events may lead to comparison basis, as well impose difficulties in analyzing the company's evolution and performance over time. As you can see in the graph, gross revenue shows a consistent favorable evolution in relation to operating expenses. It's clear that it evolves in a controlled manner and it's compatible with expansion of our business in the period as a result, certainly, of disciplined cost management. Finally, as a result in large part of the behavior of gross revenue and operating expenses, we see a very consistent growth in EBITDA per cubic meter. Let's go to slide 11. We would like to briefly highlight some points that we consider positive in 2019 and comment on how the company is facing the crisis generated by the COVID-19 pandemic and its impacts on activity, economic activity, and certainly complementing what Mr. Braga's speech at the beginning of the call. So first, we highlight net income of 33.4 billion in fiscal year 19, which complemented by 2.1 billion in new financing, supported investments of approximately 5.1 billion. The company's performance in 19 was also marked by the significant expansion of its market. About 2.5 million people were added to the population served directly when we add the populations of Santo André, Guarulhos, and population growth. The incorporation of these municipalities last year, as well as San Bernardo do Campo and Diadema in the past, represent a historic change in delinquency of wholesale and with wholesale customers. In 2019, the company also regularized and added new contracts to its operated base. The number of contracts increased from 307 to 324, and its share in total revenue increased from 84.8 to 92.2, what brings more strength to our cash flow. Moving on to slide 12, the company's achievements in recent years with the implementation of new water production systems and the expansion of connections between bulk water sources that served the metro region of São Paulo, consolidated in 20 a more favorable water situation to face the pandemic crisis compared to the existing conditions when facing the 2014 and 15 water crisis. Our current water production capacity in the metro region of São Paulo is 12% higher due to the addition of the San Lorenzo production system, with a production capacity of 6.4 cubic meters per second of water and sufficient to meet 10% of the current water demand in the region. Transfers between water sources increased 163% and between distribution system over 300%, further increasing the water security in the region. At the same time, water storage capacity grew by 8%, and this does not include the Cantareira Technical Reserve. At the same time, the supply resilience in the metro region, São Paulo, has increased. Production demand fell from 69.1 cubic meters in 2013 to 62.6 cubic meters in December 19. But currently, we work with an average production level of 65 cubic meter, still below what we saw in 13. On the availability side, we also improved. In October 13, the volume of reservoirs in the metro region of São Paulo amounted to 52% against 77% today. In other words, the company is better positioned to meet greater demand arising from the pandemic caused by the COVID-19. On the financial side, the 2019 results also puts us in a better position to face the situation of the first quarter of 20, marked by the very high uncertainty and volatility of the economy. We ended 2013 with EBITDA margin of 44.6 compared to 52.2 in December 19. The total debt over EBITDA and the net debt over EBITDA covenants before the water crisis were 2.32 times and 1.91 times respectively, against 1.7 times and 1.45 times in December 19. This is also respectively. As for foreign exchange exposure, at the end of 2013, it was 39.1 against 48% December last year. Despite the dollar value of the external, despite that, the dollar value of the external debt remained at the same level. That is, in 2013, it was equivalent to 1.579 billion. And now in 19, it is what, 1.78 billion. Yet the dollar estimated to exceed the total debt to EBITDA covenant in 13 was 5 in December with a dollar of 2, while in 2019, the breaking dollar would be 13 with a dollar in December at 19, sorry, with the dollar in December of 4.03. The actions aimed at reducing the foreign exchange exposure defined last year and commented in our third quarter call remain a priority of the company in 2020, despite the effects of the COVID-19 pandemic on the volatility of the economy and exchange rates. Moving to slide 13, our last slide, the economic recession caused by the pandemic should not significantly affect the company's revenues, given the low elasticity of demand in the face of changes in GDP. Probably residential consumption, today 82% of the build volume, will be maintained or will increase slightly, while the demand for commercial and industrial categories, today 10%, both 10% of the build volume, may be lower due to the reduction in the activity of companies in these segments. To conclude, as disclosed in the material fact yesterday, and considering that treated water is an essential asset in facing the pandemic of COVID-19, the board of directors approved the exemption for 90 days as of April 1st of payments of the bills for customers registered in the residential social and the residential favela categories, what reaches a population of more than 2 million people with very low income, exactly population that is in a situation of greater fragility to face the public health and economic crisis. The exemption for this period will be mitigated by reducing costs and expenses, thus not affecting the company's economic and financial situation, which is something fundamental to maintain investments in regular water supplies, sewage collection, and treatment. In addition to this initiative, we started to produce reused water with a higher concentration of chlorine to be used for cleaning of streets and sidewalks in the vicinities of hospitals and other institutions dedicated to healthcare. To finalize, the role that a sanitation company plays in fighting the pandemic is absolutely essential. The interruption of water supply may simply compromise the guidance given by the World Health Organization for everyone to maintain good hygiene habits, especially washing their hands frequently and correctly. For this reason, SABESP operation capacity must be preserved and the company must count on the active support of public authorities. Well, this ends our presentation or speech, initial speech, then we now turn back to questions and answers. Thank you.
Hey, thank you, sir. Again, we will now start the Q&A session. At this time, I would like to remind everyone, in order to ask a question, please press star, then one on your telephone keypad at this time. If any time the question may have been addressed, you may withdraw your question by pressing star, then two. Again, it is star, then one to ask a question. At this time, we'll just pause momentarily to assemble our roster. And our first question will come from Lily Amayang of HSBC. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking my question. So I see your revenues are growing a lot, your costs are coming down. But you have two events on the tariffs, right? First is this May of 2020. So when can we expect to hear more about the level of tariff hike that you could get this year? It should be something closer to inflation. And maybe more importantly, the second question is about your rate review of May next year. So do you consider your current level of returns as reasonable, or how can we see the tariff outcome for next year? And how can we make sure, or how confident are you that the assets that you just acquired in Guarulhos, Santo André, they're going to be fairly reflected in the rate review? Or if you could give any color where you see the highest risks in the rate review process, if it is on the RAB, if it is on the OPEX level, or if it is on the WACC level. Thank you.
Lily, could you, you said two events on the tariff. I got the one on the rate review. outcome.
Yeah.
But what was the first?
The first was on the tariff adjustment for this year, May 2020. If you think it's coming without risks in line maybe with inflation or about that.
Okay. This year. Mr. Braga, would you like to comment on the first, on the tariff adjustment for this year? Hello? Well, let me
Hello.
Convey.
Hello.
Yes.
Hello? Yes, I'm here. Yeah. I'm here.
Okay.
Thank you, Lily. Very important and very good questions. There is no indication at this point in time that we will not have tariffs adjustments. Yes, we should have tariff adjustments, and now in April is the time when this adjustment will take place. But the only thing we must have in mind is that we are in the middle of a health war. The government of São Paulo is giving daily reports on the development of the pandemic in the state of São Paulo. And of course, we are expecting the adjustment at the mid of April, but we are following what are the the development of the pandemic daily. But at this point in time, we do not foresee any problem with the readjustment of the tariffs. Mario, please.
Okay. Braga, can I add?
Yes. Yes, Rui.
Braga, it's Lili. It's just one comment. As Mr. Braga said, we don't have any indication until now concerning the tariff readjustments, but we cannot close our eyes that the fact, and I believe that behind your concerns, some agencies, electricity agencies like Enel and DASA, had already postponed some readjustments of tariffs in electricity and water due to gas, due to this huge epidemic and economic crisis. So if something like this happened to us, what we can say is, like in the past, like in the hydrological crisis, the board of officers and the board of directors of Sabesp will re-educate it, will call for a re-equilibrium on our tariffs. Remember in 2015, we asked and we have it, we got it. The extraordinary tariff review in 2015, and if there is the case, for sure the company will ask for a re-equilibrium so that we can preserve our financials and economic indicators in a sustainability manner.
Okay, Rui, thank you so very much. So, Lily. This is absolutely important, what our CFO, very careful CFO, is informing you, is that in the event of a postponement of the adjustment, we certainly will be compensated, and no economic or financial impact will occur in the company.
Thank you for clarifying.
Mario, would you like to address the second question?
Yeah, Lili, could you formulate it again, provided that we're talking here? I think Hui covered and Braga covered the tariff adjustment and the rate review side. I believe the other relates to cost.
Yeah, the other question was more on the rate review of next year, because all the works start already today for an outcome 1 year from now. So I wonder where you see your biggest concerns, or where you we could see the highest risks to the rate review, if it is on the regulatory asset base, for instance, the incorporation of Santo André and Guarulhos in the RAB. If you think it's more a walk discussion, for instance, it's going to be like more than 8.5 like Congas, or it's going to be more on the 7% level like electricity distribution companies, or if you think that the controversy might be in the OPEX level, because this was a big deal in the second rate review. So it's just a little bit more of color what's, you know, more at a stake here and what's the biggest priorities and concerns here. Thank you.
Okay, just make sure that, Hui, do you want to comment?
Okay. Lily, we are just starting the real conversation, the discussion with ARCESP, making our points and discussing the methodology of the RAB specifically. There was an important step. But when we all of us were caught by this epidemic and economic crisis that more than others, it isolates everybody and puts the rhythm of the discussions in a slowly mode. So at the point that we are right now, I cannot see a major, a big risk. As I told in our Portuguese conference, there is still a year ahead of us to the new tariff review. One. Second, and hopefully we can pass this period in a shorter time than this shorter period of time. I can see certain advantage and certain better points of view from the regulatory body at the beginning of this discussion, especially concerning the asset basics. Remember that we agreed to discuss this through the methodology of accounting numbers rather than replacement value, that from our point of view is very good. The challenges, as you mentioned, of course, remain on the new acquisitions, because in this case we have to go to the ground and to make the test, and it's time costly. But at the same time, I believe that the agents will take in consideration that go to the ground and test the assets in the middle of isolation that we are all together will be more difficult. So we have to take in consideration in the final results of the tariff review. In the other side, remember that we have been discussing, open and discussing on this, and I believe that the agency disclosed this with you, the investors, the possibility to discuss And once discussed, we closed finally this remaining 6 billion that was 7, and then they agree with 6, and then we applying the corrections and inflation and everything, still have 6 billion out of our tariffs, our RAB. So this is a good news. This is the mere fact that after so many years, we restart discussing this, from our point of view, is good. We are looking at to recover part, at least, of this asset base. So it's good. It's good news. If I have only, the only concern I have is time. Not time just because of the tariff review, but time in general. As we are isolated, as all of these things, the time frame, all of the things becomes slow, slowly and slowly. That's the point. But conceptually, I believe that we have more grounds to be more optimistic than in the past. We have to deal with these two major issues. But my belief is that the huge discussion will be in the RAB and in the treatment we have to make in the case of the big acquisitions, Santander and Guarulhos.
That's very helpful. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Lily.
And this will be the final announcement. In order to ask a question, please press star, then one on your telephone keypad. Again, that is star, then one to ask a question. Again, we will just pause momentarily. It looks like we do have a follow-up from Lily Amayang, HSBC. Please go ahead.
Sorry, I'll take the opportunity. Nobody is lining up yet. So one other question is regarding your foreign exchange debt exposure. And I understand from the call in Portuguese that you are already acting to negotiate a change in the contracts with development agencies, mainly to change your exposure from dollar or yen maybe to something like local. Would you give us an indication of what could be your cost of debt or funding in local currency? I know it's difficult to say now. Maybe you can allude to a few data points that you might find helpful for us. Thank you.
Thank you, Lily.
Lily.
This is a very critical question that, well, I think that before Rui will answer very specifically on this one, that the decision of the board of directors and the board of the company on avoiding loans in foreign currency and making sure that we could find ways of transferring existing contracts, loans, into a local currency. It is now very clearly stated, and it's not related to COVID-19 or coronavirus. This was something we decided before this situation. But I'm sure that Rui has the details to explain it to you. Please, Rui.
Oh, hi, Lily. It's Rui again. Well, we are under discussion with these two major big financiers, the RDB and IDB, the IRDB and IDB banks that together represent some stock of FX debt around 6 $100 million U.S. dollars. So it's a lot. We are discussing, so I cannot display the costs. Remember that the union, the federal government, and the state government, but especially the federal, are part of this because they are counter guarantee. They provide us the counter guarantee for those sovereign fundings. So we are currently in discussion with the World Bank and the IDB. What we can say to you is that we start the process to discuss and to reduce our exposure in foreign currency exactly in, mm-hmm. in those cases that we have long-term low-cost fundings and as they are multilaterals, sovereign banks funding by sovereign treasurers and countries. So it's easier, should be easier to do that at a lower cost and in a shorter term. That's the strategy. So we are in it. The sooner we conclude at least part of these changes, we inform to you in all the details you wanted, and we also wanted to have. That's it.
That's great news. And for your bonds that are dollar denominated, how expensive would it be to hedge, or is not worth it at this point in time? And I assume that you have not hedged any of those since December 2019, right? Correct?
Right. Right. Okay. We don't have any of those, but they have on their clauses, the contract, the possibility to change with, say, less costly costs rather than in the private capital markets. That's the important thing. And as the volatility starts to be present, important issue in our macroeconomic scenario last year, many months before the coronavirus appeared and the recession, the world recession appears, we start with this strategy. It's a long-term strategy. It's not a just one movement strategy, and but it's important. It's important. We believe that we choose the lower fruits to catch, and I believe there are lower but are big and important fruits.
Great. Many thanks. Wish you all well.
Thank you very much.
Well, it appears that we have no further questions. Now I'll turn the conference back over to the Sebest team for their final remarks.
Okay, well, thank you for your participation in our call. Be assured that Sebest will continue to work very efficiently, very carefully regarding being prudent in all the movements that we make during this important health event that we're going through. Be assured also that we have water security in the area. Our sanitation sector is being preserved by the government as an important asset to solve the corona crisis. So we are part of the solution and not part of the problem. With the good results of 2019, We are very sure that we will face the challenge and we will win the battles and finally the war. Thank you so very much. I don't know if Rui would like to say some words before we close.
No, just to say thank you very much. And our CEO, in a clever way, has closed this call with an optimistic or resilient message to all of you. Thank you very much.
Thank you all. Thank you. Bye-bye.
And we thank you also to the management team. Again, we thank you all for attending today's presentation. At this time, you may disconnect your lines. Thank you again, everyone. Take care and have a wonderful day.
Thank you.